everyone in the tech field wants to do three things: relax, automate, and get paid. There's no other tool out there that can make that more possible than D7. Go over to foolishit.com. Don't forget to use the promo code PodNutsShow20 to save an extra 20%. PodNuts would like to thank Nick Shaw for his continued support.
Hey everybody, welcome to Geeksters episode 98. That's right, two more until we reach the big 100. I'm excited. I'm excited because actually by the time we reach that 100 number, I will be in a new digs. Behind me, you'll get rid of this door, you get rid of the white walls. The walls will still be white, but I'll be in a new place. But we'll talk about that later. So then first, before we get to our guest, we have a guest tonight. It's been a while. Let me introduce our hosts, my co-hosts, my compadres in crime, Jim Bauermeister.
Hey man, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Good. Great. Can't wait for you to move. We got too many doors around here.
I'm ready to move. Gosh. See that? There's a gate behind me, and I'm tired of stamping over that thing.
Oh, there is, isn't there? Is that there to keep you in or others out?
That's keep the dog out from the cat box. Good times.
Yeah.
What can I say? Hey, and to everybody else's left, right, the other way, is Mitch. Hey, Mitch, how's it going?
It's going really good, and happy holidays, everybody.
Yeah.
Merry Christmas, Dave. And yeah. Mitch, I called you by the wrong name.
All right. Sorry. I've been called worse.
Look, I just hang out with you guys so much that you're like brothers. I just call you why, whatever. And then all the way to the other side of there, we have our guest tonight, and it's Lisa Hendrickson from Call That Girl. Hey, Lisa, how's it going?
Pretty good. Is alcohol allowed on this show?
Before, sure? After, during?
Okay, that's kind of a joke.
Oh. I don't know. We've never... Well, I guess we've had some drinks, but...
I'm having a nice cup of water right here.
Well, it's 4 o'clock my time. It's kind
of a joke, 'cause in the old hangouts we used to hang out, there used to be a lot of drinking.
That's still pretty early.
Okay, here. A little early.
But how are you doing? Lisa?
What am I doing? Well, no, I just
how are you doing?
Promoted into... Oh, I'm doing pretty good. I'm actually remoted into 3 computers right now. So, yeah, I'm always working.
Man. Do we count as 4?
Well, yes, I have 4 of you, you 4, and then 3 of my clients.
So could that possibly mess up your connection right now in here?
No.
I hope not.
She's actually fixing my computer right now.
Yeah, if you could take a look at mine right over there, that'd be great too while you're here.
You guys want to have an example of how awesome my remote support is? I can do it.
All right, we'll bring that up.
Absolutely.
Well,
that'd be
great. Sure. Well, Lisa, since we have you on here, and thank you again for taking some time out to come visit with us. Tell us about you, because I've heard you beforehand. I've heard you on your Call That Girl on the PodNuts Network, but this is actually the first time I've been able to see you, meet you face-to-face.
Well, I guess what is there to know about me? I think in the last 3 years, I've come out a little bit more actively in the tech community because I've been, most of the time I've been either talking about tech support, remote support, the things I'm really good at and I like, and I'm not afraid to get out there and talk about it. I've also written a few books, which that's how it all started. And then Steve, wanted to bring me on the show to interview me, and that's how I started working with PodNuts. And then I think I went on about every 6 months or so during his duration of running it. And then I think I did a show with Dore maybe once after he left. And then now in the past few months I talked to Dore about having my own show. So I'm slowly getting that, ramped up and figuring out my format and trying to get a little more consistency with it. I've had a hard last 2 months being sick, so it's a little difficult. But so I've kind of got the show, and my third book for remote support is in its final editor's hands right now. That'll be done probably in January. I just sent out the pre-release of the third one. And restructuring a company, that's what I've been up to.
So really just kind of taking it easy, kicking your feet up. Kind of sounds like maybe you don't have enough to do. But let me be the first to say that I have really enjoyed your podcasts. When they first came out, I listened to them, and just they actually came out during a time when I had spent about 12, 15 hours in a car, and I hadn't heard them all the way. I was kind of behind, so I had a couple to listen to, and they were just really good and very informative. And I find myself writing or talking into my phone to take notes, because I do a lot of on-site stuff, because you don't want to take notes and drive at the same time. Mm-hmm. While I do a lot of on-site stuff, there are times when I do remote support. And it's not what I do full time, but the tips and the tricks and that what you know how you talk about, and I mean, because you just don't talk about how to do remote support. You talk about you cover billing, and you cover how to keep contracts. You cover you cover things like how to be in business, which it doesn't matter what you do, if you do remote support or not. That lesson is invaluable.
Well, I don't think my kind of show could just be about remote support only, because I'm just kind of a little more outgoing of a character. And so to me, I blend a story to the next one. And I've noticed my format. When I first started the show, I decided to have a format. And now I'm kind of working that format a little bit better. So I have a segue, from one topic to another that blends. And I just have topics, and then I just tell stories off the cuff. I don't have them pre-scripted, and sometimes I just go off in la-la land, and I'll think of another idea, and I'll just go, well, then I gotta tell you about this, so I sometimes don't know those things. I just have to go for it. And that's what I kind of like about it. When I listen to my shows back, after Dor puts them up, I'm like, oh, that sounded bad. And I'm like, oh, well, it's not scripted, really, except for topics. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You can help us out with our segues. Sometimes they're a little rough here.
Well, that's how it goes when you gotta keep talking too. It's hard. I don't have anybody else.
That's because we really don't get along very well, Martin.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll tell you what. I think that listening in the car, some captive environment, is a really good way to do it. I'll tell you, I've also been listening to your show. It's fantastic, Lisa. I got to tell you. I've really, really been enjoying it. Yeah, I'm like, oh, she's got a show. I'm like, okay, well, I know her, from these podcasts, whatever. So I'm listening to it. I thought, well, remote support. I don't know what to expect. And Martin's right. I mean, there are a little like tricks and all these little things. A couple of your tricks I actually picked up from the podcast you've done before. But very, very helpful to me. But I'm listening to the show, and I'm like, well, this isn't just about how to do a successful remote support call start to finish. I mean, yeah, throwing all this, and I was really getting upset, because I'm trying to clean out my garage. I had to keep going back and I'd miss something. So I have to go back, I have to rewind a little bit, listen to it again. I didn't get nothing done in my garage. So so yeah, Martin's got, that's the way to do it. When you're in the car and you can like focus on
it. That's the trick.
So absolutely. But I really, really enjoyed it. And, I'm sorry. I really.
Well, I was just going to say. I'm sorry. We have a little lag. I think
that's okay. Go ahead.
Well, I think that when I started the show, like I said, it was going to be about remote, and then Dor and Cody were asking me for topics, and I, like I said, I literally sent them about 40 topics in 5 minutes, because most of the business stuff I do revolves around remote, because that's all I do. I have one desk, two monitors. And everything to me revolves around sales and marketing, and it's all about me pushing remote. So I'm glad you guys are all happy with the show, and it has a lot of different, spins to it, because I've gotten a lot of good feedback from people, like good fan mail. So I've been trying to make even more topics be more robust. Like my next show is about prepaid tickets and how to start selling the jeepers out of them, because I do it every day. If I can do it, you can do it. It's not hard, so that's a whole topic on its own right there. I hope everybody will listen to that one.
Is that going to be out soon?
Yeah, I've been supposed to be doing that show this last few days, but, I've been having snags in life, so I was hoping to get it done tonight.
Yeah.
Yes, we'll see. I think because it's my own show, I'll be honest, it's like, oh, okay, I'm going to do it Tuesday night. Well, then guess what? Tuesday night something happens. So when you guys have a team and you guys have a consistency thing, part of my snags are I've been sick. I'm tired. I had a long day. I've been up since 6, and I'm just exhausted. So I'm trying not to make excuses, but it's just me, and it's easy to say I'll just do it tomorrow. I feel bad. I probably shouldn't be saying that, but I'm a real person. That's how it is. But I'm hoping with the next new year I can get a consistent schedule. I already have 22 topics lined up for shows, so I'm solid there.
Wow. That's really cool.
Yeah, if I could take a moment, too, I think that was the thing that I really took away from your show, was that so many things in the media, entertainment or what, they try and put the best face on. They try and it's all polished up and edited. You know what? The thing that I always loved so much about Steve when he started this thing was that he would come in, he would say, this is what I did that worked. This is what I did that didn't work. And this is what I'm doing. And I have no idea. You know, somebody help me out. And you know what? Sometimes knowing what to do involves what knowing not to do. And sometimes you have to admit, I did that. You know what? And so that's what I always take from this. And you know what? There were some times you were like, look, I did this. Wow. No good. And so, that's I'm the first to admit that it took me, 100 times that I wrecked it before I got it right. And yeah. I really enjoy knowing that, hey, these are real people. And if it went perfect every time, I almost wouldn't trust them. And so that's what I really took away from your show. And I also just wanted to say was that it's how to, there's a lot of remote support information how to do it. You're also a good tech, let me say that. And third of all, you're explaining how you're making money doing this stuff. I mean, that is what I've always looked for in a podcast. Steve brought that, a lot of, and so I think that's what I really, really took a lot from it. I hope anybody here who hasn't heard it yet, please take a look. Definitely, definitely worth the time. Don't clean your garage while you're doing it.
Yeah, have you guys put out the just to let everybody know that the show is on the Podnets network. It's called the Call That Girl's Remote Support Show, and the tab is on the left, and I'm kind of near like the middle halfway down area. And then if you go to my show link, the current show is up, and the other two shows are on the right. And if you want to start from the top, start with show one, and then go and catch up that way. But really, I think you could just take any show and listen to it, because I don't have a continuing. It's not like a story that you have to watch.
There's
it
no
like
cliffhanger.
Yeah, cliffhanger.
There's no cliffhanger.
Yeah, exactly. Well, the one thing I've learned about doing a show by myself, which if you guys want to talk about doing shows and stuff, it's interesting, is that my first one, I did a practice show like 20 times. I was so nervous.
For Podnuts?
Yeah, for my first show. Dorm was like, you're ready to go.
But Lisa, backtrack a little bit, because you were doing a show with Doc Brown for a while. How long did that last? That was a while.
Oh, yeah. We did about 20 shows, the BAMcast show.
Okay.
And we took a break, and I think we might revive BAMcast in January.
And that's you hired a professional voiceover.
Yeah.
Because I used to listen to him, Buzz Burbank. He used to be on the Donna Mike show that used to be broadcast out of D.C. like years ago.
All right.
And it was shock jocks in the afternoon. And Don's wife was killed in a terrible automobile accident.
Oh, no.
And then the show was only on like maybe a few years after that, and they all split up. It was Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara. But Mike O'Mara, he's doing a podcast. He does podcasts right now, so.
We had him do it. Larry Doc Brown said, we should put a little extra spin on this and get you a professional, and I agreed. I think the first time me and Doc did the show, we did it together.
Right.
And then we had to take a break. And the second show, we decided just to have me do it and I'd have guests. And I really did like the format and everything, but we just kind of had a lot of stuff going on with our businesses. Excuse me. So taking the break was kind of important. And then I was like, my business had just gone through such a nightmare last year that I kind of felt I needed something for me to do and also to help support. I mean, I've got a lot of people out there that bought the books. Well, my second edition really didn't have a lot of updates in 2 years because I've been just trying to keep up with technology. And finally, this third book that came out, I was like, I have a lot to say, so I just talked to Doran and said, let me do a show. I don't know where else to do one, and Podnuts is the place to go.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I think I'm doing well there. I like it. I got a few things to learn. I mean, listening to you guys talk about all your technology stuff is just such another world for me. I don't even understand it, all the podcasting equipment and everything. And I got to mention, I thought Tim on the show here was the other Tim. I go, that doesn't look or sound like Tim from Southern Tim.
Yeah. All right. So once again, all those times that I could be, quote, found somewhere and nobody went looking. Once again, somebody else confused me. You know what? I'm just going to study his voice, maybe his handwriting or something, and I'm just going to become maybe like his double. I think I could probably be Tim.
What happened? Where's the other Tim?
Well,
he's always hanging out in the teen speak.
Do you remember Darren from Bewitched? It's kind of like that.
Oh, the other Darren. You're the other Tim.
I am. There was a contract dispute, so.
Gotcha. Well, that happens. There's been some disputes lately, a lot of things.
I'm surprised you even remember who Darren was. Tim.
Darren.
You're old enough.
That changeover was so smooth, nobody noticed, just like this one.
I did, though, because when I was listening while I had my mic off earlier and I was running around the house, I was like, that isn't Tim? I was waiting for Tim Southern Tim to come on.
No.
Thank you for staying with us, even though that's not the Tim you were expecting. It would have been sad if you would have said, nope, I'm out of here, see ya.
Well, I was like, that guy actually sounds like, no offense, Tim, but you sound like a real radio guy. Like, you got the inflections of a radio guy, the tone, and I was like, radio? I didn't even know what was going on.
Oh gosh, nuts! Yeah, I am the fake Tim. I am the artificial sweetener of Tim's. I can't. We have a long list of what I am and am not, but I am not. I'm not Tim, and I have a great respect for him, but I'm beginning to not like him so much.
At least when he has his hair out, you'll want to bow to him.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to.
Well, you know what? I don't think I've talked to you before in any chat rooms, though, and if I have, excuse me, I don't recall.
No, I don't think we've ever officially met.
Okay. Well, I know, so. I just met Martin, it's Martin, right?
Yeah, it is Martin.
Yeah. Hey, sorry. My brain is frying today.
Well, you can call him S.A. He's cool with that, too.
S.A.?
S.A. Hey, Lisa, I remember you talking about your business in, because I know you from the podcast you've done, here and there with Dor on Podnuts, but, you know, your show is new to me, all of us. What exactly is your business? Are you strictly remote? You have a bricks and mortar? What are you doing?
Well, about a year ago is when I started to, what I say, collapse my old company.
Okay.
I used to have three stores, and in 1 year, I pretty much closed all three. Three brick and mortars in two big towns and one small town. I think, I'll be honest, it just wasn't my thing to manage people. It wasn't my thing to manage stores. I hate hardware. I despise parts. I mean, if I never saw hardware, I would never care. I just am not into it. And okay. I had, sorry.
Yeah.
I have that texts that were like, Lisa, we need to buy this inverter for this screen. And I'd be like, just buy it. You don't have to get approval from me. I don't care. And then the part would be bad, but I'd have to return it. And then we'd have to get another one. And I was just like, it was a constant hassle for me when I realized it wasn't what I loved doing.
Yeah.
I did not love hardware, parts, stores, employees, payroll, Facebooking while you're working, people lying, calling out for work. It just never ended.
I've learned that about myself as I'm doing this, working on my own. You can't just be a tech. You know, you have to do the business and the pay. Some of it you have to do, no matter what part of this year, unless you're working for somebody else. There's some things you just have to do. Maybe you're built to do it, maybe you're not. But there are some things you can choose, and some things maybe you don't even know about yourself yet until you do it. And you're like, I know, that's been my experience. I've gotten 6 months into something, I hate this. And I start backing myself out of it. Because the tech industry, you'd be doing anything from sales to just service to, you know, actual physical hardware repairs. You can be doing anything with it, and nobody has to be doing everything, and you have to find where you belong. And so that's not something to apologize for. I know that I've done that myself. Every time I decide I hate this, I feel like I'm actually getting closer at what it is I'm great at.
Well, here's the worst part is that I had to make the clear-cut decision that I hated my company, and I said it out loud, and I said, I hate every day. And I was like, this was not why I started this company, was to hate waking up and hate dealing with drama and all the problems. And the only thing I ever loved was when I saw my calendar that day filled with client work for me.
Nice.
I think that the worst part was that as my company, I started to collapse it of sorts, was I started closing stores, laying off people, you know, closing down. I just purchased another company 6 months before that, which was stupid. So I had all of their equipment. I had a full store of thousands of dollars worth of hardware that I just wanted to burn. I just was like, more hardware. And I had fired everybody or laid them off, so it was all up to me to get rid of it. It was horrible. And, you know, I was literally going to open the doors and put a Craigslist ad out and say, come take. And there was, like, you know, just tons of really nice stuff. But anyway, I got one of my old techs to come back and help me shuffle through it, and we eventually got rid of it. But it came to be about last April when it was just me, and I had one store left. And I had the one store and all my remote work, and the store people that were coming in were bothering me immensely. Mm-hmm. Nothing personal. They were great people, but I hated when they'd come in and I'd be on a remote job. And I was about to land like a new client, and here I'd have to go talk about a $40 power supply, you know. I just was really irritated. So that only lasted about 3 months, and then finally I closed that store, and I just kind of went in hiding. And from June through till August or so, I just worked from home. I didn't want to deal with it, and I just took calls that came in. And then I started restructuring how I did sales. I found more cloud support products. I finally got it down to where I'm like, okay, my average ticket was $75. Now, how many $75 tickets do you need to run three stores and to make a profit? And to pay 16 people.
A lot.
It was a lot. Now, within 1 year's change, my average ticket is $268.
Nice. Really?
Yes.
Very nice.
So do the math. It's me alone managing everything, sales, all my upsells, the marketing. But I've got seven contractors now that work with me, and they only do what I hire them to do. And since they're contractors, they want to work, so they do the job quickly and efficiently because they want to get paid on Friday.
So can I say this, financially you're doing better now than when you had the stores?
Oh, definitely. I can actually, my blood pressure's down. I have time for my boyfriend that I started dating right when this all started. And I just have a nicer life in general. It's just more calm and relaxing, you know. And plus I've got better sales with my clients, so I have better relationships. And then I ended up hiring, I don't know if you guys have heard of the remote support tech team. It's a new company.
Remote support tech team?
Yeah, it's rstechteam.com. I ended up hiring that company to do my back-end virus removals and tune-ups and just kind of everything. They're just like my back-end remote techs,
Interesting.
So I hired them. So when I get calls in, I judge the call with how, if I want to do it or not. Now, I've already trained them how to upsell. They've already upsold two prepaid tickets for me. That's awesome. And they're going to set me up on a GFI monthly maintenance thing I can start selling to my clients too, which is hands off for me, which I love. Now, I didn't really want to work with managed IT, but it's kind of like with the cloud now. You can do unmanaged IT, but yet it's managed, but it's not servers, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm trying to move into that where I can get some monthly reoccurring revenue. That's my new thing. But the prepaid tickets are the blocks of time. And I'm just pitching good services. Hosted Exchange transitions are the winner for anybody looking to add on new money.
Let me ask you this. So you can pick throughout the day what you want to do or what you want to have your support team, your contractors to do.
Yep. Well, a call comes in. If I try to pitch them as a business client, let's say, and I'm like, yeah, I try my pitch. And they are like, nope, I just want a virus removed. I'm not interested. And you can't hard sell people in the beginning either unless you can feel them out.
Right.
Like if I can tell, you know, like they're going to go in for it or not. Otherwise, I just schedule the appointment with my tech team, and they do the work, and they bill the client, and I pay them instantly. It's always instant. I like it. I do PayPal, I PayPal them back, and then they give me the notes. And sometimes then they go around and sell anyway because people are happy with the service. So just I try to get them in the beginning. He gets them on the end. But so far, I'm making a lot of money off it, and it's given me a lot more time. So I'm really happy with the outsourcing. I didn't think I'd like it, but I do.
Well, as long as we're giving good service, I mean, what's not to like?
Yeah. Well, anybody can have this kind of service, too. It's like a tech bench. Like, even if I had my store, I would have hired them anyway, because I don't want to do all these virus removals in my store. You know, remote them in and let them do it.
Now, speaking of remote, Lisa, I know... I think Martin uses Screen Connect remote software. And what is your remote software of choice?
Right now I'm using Instant House Call.
It's okay.
Yep. I use Instant House Call, and my tech team uses that too. So it's a pretty nice product. You know, it does a good job. And it's affordable.
Did you tell Fred about this? Because I think he's been messing around with it lately.
Ready?
Yeah.
They've partnered with someone else, D7 too.
Yeah, that's the one. That's what's built into it. Yeah, that's the one. Fred was he used me as a guinea pig. But it worked out pretty good.
It was working. You know what? I'm still like so because my brain is not like technical that way. I still do it all by hand. I hate to admit it.
What do you mean?
I do all my stuff by hand, my virus rules and tune-ups and everything else.
By hand?
Like manual. I don't use tools, and I've tried, and it just complicates me, so I just give up every time.
So you actually like go into the registry and files and folders and stuff like that?
Yeah. I use tools, but I just don't let's put it this way. I don't want to get into a technical chat.
You don't want to give your secrets away.
Well, I just don't use a lot of tools like that because I'm just more efficient just doing it my way.
Sure.
And I have happy clients, so.
Well, and that's what I remember you saying was that you pretty much know where they're usually hiding anyway, and you know your processes. You go out, pluck them out. If pulling a weed here and there, it's going to be a lot faster than just starting a scan and walking away for 40 minutes. And that's what you're saying, right?
Well, some people, when I read on forums what they do to remove viruses, I'm like, are you kidding me? Really? Are they just like over-teching each other just to do it? I'm like, that's insane. I do these every day. I never do all that stuff. Maybe because I just like simple. I don't know.
Well, and there's
it's less work and it works. So,
but there's something to be said about doing it. I don't want to say your way versus other ways, but it's kind of like taking your car into a shop or doing it yourself. You get to know what the infrastructure is like. You get to know what's right and what's wrong with the folder because you've been in that folder many times on many different machines. So it all looks normal, and then all of a sudden something's wrong, and you'll pick it up right away because you've seen. So many of them. And so that's commendable. That's a lot more work for me, that seems like a lot of work, but I suppose once you learn it, it's not. I would equate it to like Clonezilla, which is a Linux-based cloning tool. I can bust through that thing pretty quick, but I've been using it for so long.
Yes.
Yeah.
It has so many different menus and so many different ways of doing the same thing that I know a lot of people don't like it because of that.
It looks a little harder than Acronis to me.
Sure. And I think that's the same thing with Lisa, is that it probably looks harder for us to watch you do it. But then once we realize, oh, I see what you're doing, we can, and over time it just becomes simpler. And then it becomes muscle memory and you can just bust it out.
Yeah, but I'm not a virus removal masteress or whatever it's called by any means.
Well, no, but your time is money, and that's what what you... And I mean, all of our time's money, but so we all have to find ways to be more efficient to do our job, because then we get a chance to spend some time not working.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you one thing about having an outsourced team that's been really kind of cool is when I get a call now, I actually can sit and think, do I want that job or not? And just about 2 months ago, I was doing it all, 20, 30, 40 jobs a week by myself, and it could be a heavy load. you know, I'm booking calls from 7 at night to 9 at night, and I was like, oh my God, I'm doing fine financially. Why do I need to break myself, you know, to death? And that's when I started thinking, like, I don't need to be working till 9 at night, you know, and doing all these, I hate to say it, but it's kind of like just, they're supporting my back-end work. I need to be on focus on sales and my Outlook. My Outlook is my bread and butter. That's how I get a ton of work, you know, so that to me bleeds into, oh, let's get you a prepaid ticket, and then my techs can support you, because if they're calling me for Outlook, usually their tech guy doesn't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
You know? So they're like, I need someone else, and then I just, I pitch my business, and there you go.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. What's the nature of your calls? I mean, yeah, is it mostly the virus removal? Is it mostly this? And I remember you saying that now, that you love the Outlook, and so... Mm-hmm. That tells me most of what you're doing. But yeah, I mean, the calls you get, what is the typical nature of them? Or is it just everything?
Well, okay, if you guys Google Outlook Expert, by luck last year, I landed on page one of everything Google. So that was my SEO kind of kicking in, and I'm pretty sure I'm still on page one, yeah. So I'm usually in the first few top ranks. So... what I did for a while was I kept my SEO strong, and I was getting in the Outlook calls. And I was also working as an Outlook contractor for another company. So I had an agreement with the company that they wanted to bill me at less time, so I could upsell them on my tech support, though. So that they were like, yeah, upsell your prepaid tickets. We don't care. We're going to bill you at this rate. So I was on page one, and they were on page one. Well, that was really good. My sales were doing well, and then they decided to drop me, and so I had to start working on my own. So I started paying to be at the ads for Google Expert or Outlook Expert, and I was getting work, and then I kind of let that go because I got sick, and I just didn't have time to manage all of it because I was like, some days not working. And then I still work on social media marketing, which I have a really strong social community up in Minneapolis of people that call, and they call me for everything, and now I've been focusing my blogs and social media on business support, which, let me just tell you, if you switch from res to biz, you got to go slow with it, because you're going to have to lose people and gain new people, and with social media, it's a value trust thing. So if you're going to be pushing your spam, it better be good, and it better be memorable. And that's what I do. I'm a spam-o-nator. So, it's a fine line of spamming people to keep them interested. That's what I'm doing. I'm right in that middle part right now where I'm just getting the business people in. So I had to take this break from, you know, pushing out day-to-day stuff into more business-centric information. So really the marketing is just like I said, trying to bleed out the market I'm not so into anymore and moving into the new business market, which is hard for any company to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. It's tough. So I hired a marketing assistant now, and she's just started a trainer. It's kind of hard to train someone virtually. She lives in Minneapolis, so it's hard to get... hard to get her trained when I'm not sitting by her. And then just kind of working on some new...
Wait a minute. You do remote work for a living.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, she's a student, so it's hard to work with her because she's always busy with school.
Oh, okay.
All right. I remote into her computer and train her on how to do my social media.
It was ironic. I was just pointing out how ironic that was. But no, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said anything.
Well, I trained most of my techs when I had my store in Minneapolis and the store here. I had to remote into their computers to show them how to do stuff, and that was fine. But I hired a gal. I got her for a year. She's a senior, and I'm like, I hate the training part. It's just so long and tedious.
Yeah.
But it works, you know. Once I have her working 20 hours a week doing all the social media, it just works. I just get so much more, you know, business in. So if you're busy, you got to have an assistant.
No, that's good. That's absolutely. Farm that out.
Yeah, I like to have them do the pushes and the writing, and I come up with the ideas because I'm the one in the trenches every day. And I have them make the newsletters and all that stuff.
Yeah, I'm just about there. I may need to hire somebody or get somebody to contract with me.
Oh, good.
I'm just about reaching that point.
It's kind of exciting when you're like, I'm ready to get done with it all and train them how to do your stuff, isn't it?
Kinda, but then on the other hand, I have a hard time letting go.
No, don't, Martin. No. It's a freedom you're never. It's so awesome.
Well, sure, but one of the concerns though isn't it. I mean, I guess it's like with every job, but you're hoping that they represent you well, because it's your name, it's my name, it's Tim's name, it's, you know, our name is
whoever
our name
Tim is
our business. Yeah, you know, pick your Tim. It doesn't matter, either one.
No.
You know, and there's that concern that I have.
Well, you know what I have them do for me, Martin, is they log in under my name, and I train them how to do updates. They never post as themselves. In fact, I won't say this too loudly, but my new marketing assistant, I wish I could have her be the face of Callie Girl. She's a cheerleader for one of our big state teams, too, you know? So I'm like, she's gorgeous. I'd be like, God, it'd be so great to have her out there cheerleading for Call That Girl, you know? But I can't, really, because she has to use my name because no one knows who she is. They can't even give their last name, so, you know? So anyway, so she's like this, you know, anonymous person doing all my stuff.
Yeah, I do a lot since I'm hands-on a lot. Since I'm contracted with companies to actually be their IT support, so I deal with their servers and their network, and so I do a lot of system and network administration on site.
Yeah, well,
so, I mean, but it's times where like today I went out and deployed a computer. I mean, I just put together a computer that was already bought. I set it all. I had it all set up and configured here. All they had to do was go on site and hook it up.
Oh gosh! So were you writing blogs in your head while you were driving and doing the work?
Was I what?
Were you writing blogs in your head?
Oh no, I'm not very. I don't type very well. So blogging for me is not
not good for marketing.
No, I'm not a blogger. I'll talk to anybody.
Talking to voice notes in your phone, then you go put it in DragonSpeak, and then you send it on over to your assistant. That's what I do.
Yeah,
it works. Well, I do a lot of Dragon speaking, so I don't have to type so much. You know, with all the writing I do anyway, it's nice.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, it is. Voice notes moves right into Dragon Speak pretty well.
That's cool. Yeah, I'll have to look into that. Mm-hmm. Usually it's get milk on the way home.
Yeah. Well, I think that just to let you guys know that a lot of my start of my company started from blogging back in 2008. Blogging keeps people in touch, you know. And so I have a site up that it's up, but there's nothing going on yet. It's called remoterockstars.com. And it's part of my third ebook. So if you go there, it doesn't look pretty yet, but it's up, you know. And there's some forms in there, too, which should not have any action in it. But the premise of that is that this is my final third edition, or my third book. It's the final ebook, anyway, for remote support, because I have to stay current and trending constantly with remote support if I want to sell more books. I just can't go through another lull of 2 years because there's so much that's changed. I mean, my third book is dramatically different than the second. So the website, what I'm hoping is that my updates for the book will be in a private forum on the website, but I want the blog feature to be where people like Martin can go put up a blog entry and share it with the other community members and maybe get, you know, I mean, it doesn't really help that much nowadays, but a little backlink and SEO kick. And, you know, I want the community to share their tips and tricks with other people. My goal is to have just remote support people there, like no, you know, hardware talk, of course, and, you know, things like that. But that's what my goal is. So I've been working on that website for a while and trying to get things going there because the blogs are what, you know, to me, it's just so important to blog and to keep everybody updated that way and send out your information. I'm in my sixth year now of blogging.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah, I do a lot of them. I think I've got 400 in there. It's pretty big. But I haven't blogged since I've been sick. It's just so horrible. I used to blog every other day, just get up in the morning, coffee, you know, just do, I wrote about all the stupid stuff that was happening. Now I have, like, no ideas. I'm just brain dead. I'm, like, in a black hole.
it'll come back.
Yeah.
I have some friends who are writers, and they, you know, I think every writer, blogger suffers that. Well, I don't suffer because I got nothing to say.
You probably have a lot more than you think. I kind of just changed to doing the show, you know. That's why I was noticing I wasn't blogging, but I was doing the shows, and then I was keeping my notes, and then I had to finish the book, and they just had too much creative stuff going on in my brain. But I recommend everybody blogs and sends out their blogs to their clients. So it's a really good way to keep them informed on what's going on in the shop. Your clients will read it. Trust me. They will call you. They do. I have people that call me from 5 years ago that read my newsletters.
Tim doesn't want anybody to call him, though.
No, I was just thinking about that dragon speak. I would be really upset. I would be concerned. I mean, it would just be like a lot of snoring that you would read. And I fell asleep while I was recording, I guess. I don't know. I
just stub your toe. No, I didn't mean to say that.
Oh, I do a lot of scratch that.
No blacklist here.
Erase.
The unfiltered blog by that other Tim.
That other Tim. He's like the new Tim. Coke. He's like the new Coke.
Oops, I am. I'm way past my shelf life.
No, I bet you're not even that old to know what the new Coke was.
No, I was there during that disaster. I'm sure I'm being blamed for it by somebody somewhere.
Funny. So do you guys? I think we can talk about this. Is the TeamSpeak channel still up and everybody playing in there? Where are you guys from?
I go in there, but I don't think none of these guys go in there.
No.
No. They can if they want to. They're more than welcome.
So how did you find Martin and Tim when all this?
Tim? How we found Tim?
How did you find Tim?
You almost have to listen for
yourself. I'm glad to tell you. You're going to have to go to geeksters.tv and look on the shows, the Unbootables. And there's one titled, How We Met Tim. And you download that one, you'll laugh your butt off.
Okay, I'll go do that.
Yeah, geeksters.tv, you'll see it up there.
Was he one of your chat lurkers?
I've been involved with Podnut since pretty much the beginning, but really just I was in the forums and I was a pretty hardcore lurker. And I've been around, but I accidentally got involved one night, and so you really. Unfortunately, it was recorded, so you have to just...
Just like Lisa, just like you thought it was the other Tim,
yeah.
we were doing a show, The Unbeatables, and we thought we were getting we were using Skype at the time, we thought we were getting the other Tim, but it was this Tim, and he's been here ever since.
Oh, that's funny.
Well, it's cool, it's great.
Hello, Tim, you're a great host.
Best thing that ever happened, really.
No, yeah. My gosh, no. But basically, the way I got here, it's very much like the way I found my wife. I mean, I just showed up and I did go away.
I didn't go.
Kind of like how I met my boyfriend. We met online and turned out we were 4 blocks from each other. And yeah, I know. It was kind of cool. Wow. We literally, figured it out in email after we met, and we met 2 days later. And, you know, we were just like, this is so weird, you know, that yeah, it was just
like a movie.
It was really cool. And now he lived here for a few months when he got his house, and now it's been almost a year, so I might move in with him. And
met him, did you hear music in the background?
No, there was no love scenario there.
But there wasn't like this weird moment where you're like talking to him and you hear a car go by and then you hear it like in your phone go by. And you just like what? As if you're both stalking each other somehow.
I was just thinking like they met at some place and they went home and both of them thought, why is the other person stalking me?
Well, you know,
one person speeds up and the other person speeds up you're trying to lose the tail behind you and you're like, I'm just going home.
Lose the tail.
Well, the nice thing is, when he said he'd be over, he was here in like a minute. It was always like he was here quick. I have my Call That Girl truck branded up, and I said to him, I can't believe in all these years you lived here, you've never seen my truck. I mean, it's black with pink all over, you know? Never saw it. That's just so weird.
A little too weird.
I know, but... It is too weird. How did Martin get involved in all this? So back to you guys. How did Martin get involved?
Well, Martin decided to screw himself out of a wonderful prize.
I did. I did. But I'm just a tad bit bitter about that. That's been going on now for 9 months.
What's the prize?
Well, I'll let Mitch tell it. Mitch, you go ahead.
I'm forgetting because I'm old. I'm the old
raspberry pie, right?
Yeah, it was a raspberry pie.
That's right. That's right. It used to be. I've been on the show a long time, even when it was on the other, but I never emceed it. So we had numerous different people, and then we had Eric Ardini, I think.
Yeah.
Okay, so he was hosting for a good while.
Yeah.
But now, he's in politics now. He can't do it. But anyway.
You can't talk to us little politics. People.
What's that?
Would he get, like, city council or something?
Something like that, clerk or something, yeah. And so he just, the hours. But he still does Android App Addicts. But anyway, we had a giveaway. He had a giveaway for a Raspberry Pi. It's one of these little electronic stream media devices, real cheap. So we had, and I still don't remember how Martin got involved. So you can fill it in from there, Martin.
Well, I forgot. I came on the show, and I don't know. I think I had asked Eric one time, "Hey, can I come on?" And he's like, "Sure." And then, I just blatantly just asked. No reservations.
We have a long line. We have a long line of people wanting to come on.
And he's like,
and
sure,
then they beg and ask to get on.
Whew. No, and so I came on, but I had also put in what I would do with the Raspberry Pi, and the day that I came on was the day that they were going to give it away, so they couldn't very well draw my name.
He basically disqualified himself.
Then they asked me to stay on, and rest is shameful history.
Wow.
Yeah, it's good because Martin. Yes. Because at the time, Eric was still doing his PC repair. He had his shop, which I think he gave up. Eventually, he gave up because he got this politician job, political job. And then Martin, he's a full-time tech. He's a network guy. And Tim, he's a full-time guy. So you need somebody that knows what to talk about. You could never have me emceeing anything.
Oh, get out of here.
I only know how to do stuff from you guys.
Yeah, you know what, though? Then we got to talk about Freddie. So, am I going to replace Freddie now? Is that what we're doing?
I'm not sure Freddie even lives anymore.
We're working on outing Freddie, right?
Fred, it's just so hard for him to make it because, he's always working, flying somewhere.
Yeah, he's always got that schedule. You never know.
Right. Yeah.
I'll be your reserve Freddie if you ever need me. And we won't talk about me. We can talk about other people. There's enough room,
Let's dish. Let's talk to other people.
Oh, I got a lot to talk about this week, but I can't. It's been a crazy week with me.
Oh, man.
I know.
Have you dealt with this crypto deal at all? Have you had any?
Ask the exact same thing.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
No, I really, what's funny is I put out newsletters and blogs about it to my people. Yeah. Only two people have called me, and one of them, the lady, said, "This is just what embarrasses me. I can't keep up with everything going on." She calls me, not even a current client. She goes, "Lisa, I have this thing called Crypto Locker. I've called like 9 other tech shops, and they've all told me that they can't fix it." And I said, "Of course I can fix it."
Oh,
no. I didn't know anything about it, right?
Right.
You really can't. You can't fix that.
This is the best part. Is I was like selling her on my business stuff. Oh. I was like, I'm going to remote in. After she hung up, I never heard back from her. So then I was like, and then I started hearing about Crypto Locker being the badass, virus. So I was like, God, I better call her back. So get this, I called her back 2 weeks later, and I apologized. And she goes, Lisa, honestly, you're the only person that I talked to that day I liked. And we haven't even got the computer turned on since I talked to you. So she goes, I didn't know any different. I was like, thank you, because they just didn't want to deal with it. And I apologize, though, for not knowing my stuff. And that's why you got to be honest with people if you mess up like that, because I didn't know about Crypto Locker. I didn't even know.
Right.
Now I know.
It's terrible.
But I've given people protection options, and, I think it kind of died, I think.
No, it's still out there. I've had a couple of people, like, just hearing through the grapevine of people, more people who have gotten it.
The hype is dying anyway.
Well, I don't know. I see. Yeah, the hype is dying. But I think it may get. I think it may pick back up because of the really? Delivery method and the emails coming from post office or FedEx or UPS. I don't know. I would assume, just based on that, that as we get closer to the holiday season, as we get closer through it, that there may be more stuff. But who knows?
Well, I will tell you that I do not do any remote support on it at all. Not a stitch. I have referring partners that are around me that I tell people to go to. I don't know what to say. Like, pay the ransom? Maybe? I don't know. I just said I'm not going to deal with it. So that's kind of like my company decision.
See, to me, it's like terrorism. You know, you're supporting if you pay it. I mean, I know people have to get their data, but it's
Guess what? They know to back up. I've been telling people for 7 years, back up your stuff. And if you're not backing up, and I've been telling you, then it's your own fault.
Oh, yeah. No, that's, you know, if you go back a couple episodes, was it last week or the week before, I had spoken, it was last week.
Last week, I think. Last week.
I was called in as a consultant for a crypto locker infection and just learned a little more about it. And it's pretty nasty. They had lost a lot of data, actually. I was going to say quite a bit, but they lost about 70,000 files. And it hadn't finished, encrypting and all their data. So they were never prompted for the ransom. They had an on-site backup, which was encrypted, and they didn't have any off-site backup. So they were pretty, they've moved on. We now have off-site backup. We now have some content filtering. OpenDNS has been able to see some of the signatures, and it works really well for filtering. So I spoke with Nick Shaw a while ago, and we had a good conversation regarding preventative maintenance. So his application, Crypto Prevent, is free. You can get it right from his site, and it's pretty easy to it's easy to install. It's just next, and if you bought a subscription, you can hit yes. You can then put your license key in. But
I'll tell you, Martin, that my outsource company, the remote support tech team, they are going to be doing my GFI monthly maintenance plans. That includes the CryptoLocker tool from Nick, whatever it's called. So anyway, one thing I've learned about all the failures I've had with my company is that I'm going to, make sure everybody knows, is that if you don't ask, people don't buy. Okay? So when I started going through all the services I could offer, and when I get a business client in, let me tell you that everything is going to be on this list from now on, and I'm going to document it to a T. When I ask them in my interview that they said no, they said no, they said no, because when something like this comes around, I'm going to say, no, I could have a form, they fill out, but I think it's just like as a mental note, like they didn't want that monthly maintenance plan. I could have gave them the crypto locker, for $25 a month or whatever. So that's what I got to really be firm on this year, is there's stuff out there destroying computers. So take your pick.
Yeah.
I'll help you, or you can just be cheap. And I hate to say it that way. It's kind of like people are so budget, crunching right now. I'm like, yeah, but for, a few bucks a month, we're covering all that for you.
Well, yeah, so this company lost 70,000 files. They were down for 3 days. They're a million-dollar construction company. And we implemented, OpenDNS, which is free, and offsite cold storage. Total cost for all of that, $150 for the year. So for $150, they could have saved themselves all of that trouble, all that heartache. And I think it was a really big learning experience for the IT staff that they had. They actually had hired IT staff on site.
Oh, gosh.
And so I think that IT staff has now learned. And I know that the gentleman that I was working with, took it back to his boss, and they had long conversations about it and stuff. So, any job, you get burned once and you remember. So,
How did you get called in on that contract then, Martin?
The lady who was in the construction company, her husband and I worked together when I was working in education before I left and started my own business. Mm-hmm. So she just heard through me and about me and asked me to come in and kind of be another set of eyes and ears. And I came in and said, this is where we need to go. This is what we need to do. And this is how we're going to run it in the future. And out of that, I've received two referrals from that job.
Nice.
So
yeah, you're kind of like the firefighter, though, for the IT guys that don't know what they're doing. See, that actually, you should try to work something in with that. Honestly, if those two guys weren't keeping up with it to manage it, don't you think there's something wrong?
Yeah. Well, it was, yeah, these two guys, but they were employees of a bigger construction, a bigger tech company, local tech company.
Well, so maybe it's time to go sit and talk to the owner. That's what I would do, because I actually do that a lot with the Outlook calls. I kind of interview the people in a way where I'm just trying to get enough information to find out how technical these guys are and if they know how to fix the Outlook stuff, because no offense to any techs out there listening, but a lot of techs, whenever there's an Outlook problem, they go, I'm reinstalling it. That's an answer for Outlook. And I'm like, I never reinstall. So I always tell people that, and they're like, you know, I think I would like a plan to work with you on just this, because it's so important, their livelihood to Outlook. So I don't know, it's just an idea, Martin. I always try to find an upsell and everything.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, I think that's one of the things that we bring to the show, is that I think all of us bring our successes and our failures, and through that, other techs learn, and then we learn from each other. And so coming here and just sitting down with you know, Fred, Tim, and Mitch weekly and just talking about, hey, these are the things that we succeeded in this week, and these are the things that really bit me in the rear this week, and we all go, oh. And the next time we come across that, we go, oh, wait, I remember that, you know, this happened or that happened. And it's nice to, you know, it's nice that Geeksters is a great platform for us to just share, you know, internally here, but also then we, you know, posting it out with Podnuts, and we can share those successes and failures with our listeners. And we get great feedback from our listeners.
Oh, good. Well, one thing I've always liked about being in Mitch's circle of podcasting, because I've known him probably the longest, is podcasters in our tech world will work with you until the job is finished. They don't give up on helping. They always want to teach. They always want to learn. And this is the most awesome community of people I've ever met, is in this whole Podnuts, technical, everything. It's always, I'm always so impressed with the level of interest people have, and I think it's a
generosity.
You know, it's a very generous community, and that's why I think that, you know, I mean, I've had to think about the things I can contribute, you know. It's like I try to find things that no one else is doing, because that's what makes us all unique about this industry. Offer what no one else is.
Well, yeah. That's you're right. Just expand upon that. That's what really drew me in, is that, you know, I had been in other, like, tech support, you know, I mean, just forums that always had, like, a tech or tech chat, whatever, and people would have problems, and you would try to answer. You start seeing the same thing, where the same just jerks would show up, and they would have this long argument, like you were saying earlier. You know what? The problem, that's, it was like everybody show up. Everybody was very generous, and it never, like, devolved into this, you know, little
flaming. Yeah,
yeah. There was no flaming, no trolling. It was like everybody was just very concerned about helping, getting it fixed. And hey, what did come of that? What did you learn from it? Because, you know, I'm probably going to see the same thing eventually. And so, I've never...
real names, too. Unlike real, you know, some forums, people can just use fake names. Most of the people in this industry use their real names, and I like that.
I use my real name. You see what happened.
Yeah. They call you the Bow Wow Man?
No, they know.
The other ten.
Not yet.
Nobody knows who.
I like that one, the Bow Wow Man.
Hey, I have a pretty good question for all you guys, because you're full-time tech people. Now, with Windows XP coming to an end, I think, in April, are you pushing your customers to upgrade? I mean, I assume you still have customers with XP, some. So are you pushing any of them to upgrade?
Yeah, I have a couple customers. I have one that they actually are asking for new computers right now, and they happen to be Windows XP machines, so that kind of solves that problem. And then I have another customer that we've spoken about it, and following the first of the year, we're gonna revisit that subject again on a couple levels for them, just because they're hosting a lot of applications on their Windows XP box, and we can move them to the server to make them more effective.
Right.
And so, yeah, we're going to be – I only have a couple customers that are running Windows XP, because a lot of my customers have been purchasing new machines as their machines have been dying. Right. So it's – I've had quite a good turnover in that aspect, so I don't feel like I'm going to get up against the wire and realize that my customers – I have so many customers that have Windows XP machines.
Because in big companies like the company I work for, which is a disposable product goods company, we're all over the place. And we still have a lot of XP machines, but we are phasing in. We have several, in my facility where I work at, several Windows 7 machines. So I'm curious, come April, if they're going to phase the rest of the few XP machines we have out there. But the thing is, XP is still going to work. You're just not going to, there's not going to be no Microsoft updates for it.
Right. Yeah. Microsoft's not going to be pushing out any more patches and fixes right. for it. The machine itself is not going to work. I mean, this machine right. will continue to work.
Oh, it'll work. But I mean, running Windows without continued security patches is like, why would you do that? And unless it's sitting over the corner for Grandpa to play a solitaire and it's never connected to the internet, that's fine.
That's what all my people, I tell them, take it off the internet, use it for music, games, whatever. It's still going to work. But I always push my people to upgrade. I do probably two or three a week now of getting people new systems, and I spend a couple 3 hours with them configuring it. It's going to be nice for me in January and February, because I'm going to probably end up doing all that work myself, because that's just my bread and butter, that stuff. I'm a pretty good software configuration artist.
I was imagining a scenario in which XP could still be relevant in someone's life. However, yeah, I mean, reality is... No, I mean, no, because it's... Look, it's there's enough, it has enough problems with the security patches. I tell you what, if I was if I was into writing that kind of stuff, I would exploit it to death in the second and third quarter of next year, because... seriously, because you're looking for a high rate of success, it's not getting... patched, and you know that there's all these machines that are still out there. And so, to answer Mitch's question, I don't see that many XP machines, and I've actually been surprised by the number that I have gotten in last week. There was just kind of, I've actually had so many that I'm like, wow, this is, it was always hard for me to imagine that getting to the point where XP would seem strange to me. But I guess I've started seeing enough Windows 7 machines, and I'm like, wow, this really does seem kind of old. Mm-hmm. And, you know what, even my residential customers, that if I had business customers, I would definitely be ramping up to getting them switched out for good. I really don't, as residential. I'll tell you what, residential customers, the machines I've seen, I can't imagine them running that much longer. And yeah, it's like, I'll push. I'll make a big deal. I'm starting to make a big deal about this. It's like, look, this is not going to be supported. I would not recommend, running this. Hey, it's Christmas. Go get yourself a nice new machine. They're so stinking cheap.
Yeah. Do you guys remember in 2003 when Dell came out with all their commercials and they were just like super hot?
Dude, I'm getting a Dell.
Mm-hmm. I think I've supported in the past couple years just so many 2003 machines, It's like, people, it's 10 years old. Time to move on. I mean, these people, I had one lady last week. I even talked about it on my show last time, I think. Not last week, a while back. She goes, I am not going to upgrade this computer, Lisa. I have a daughter in college. I am not buying a new one. I go, well, you know what? Then after April, you might not want to keep it on the internet. Oh, I'll be on the internet. I was like, hey. She was one of the Angelus people I was talking about.
Put me on speed dial.
Yeah. I don't know. I just, I don't really, oops, sorry, I'm getting a call here. I'm going to shut that off. I'm not really that concerned. If people call, I tell them to upgrade. Then they go buy it, and we set up a little appointment. And if it's a nice business client with lots of stuff, it's a good sale for me. Yeah, I love it. I love the new computer upsells. They're not so fun when people know what they're doing, though, because then they're like, oh, okay, just go buy a new one, and they do all their own stuff. But I'm always helpful.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So what else is going on, guys?
Not much. I was kind of we had talked briefly earlier regarding you brought up the fact that you had said you had a kind of a checklist that you go through with your clients, and that brings upon good communication. Mm-hmm. And I kind of stuck my foot in my mouth this morning with a client. I had been she wanted I do a little bit of web hosting on the side. I don't do web development. I can't draw a square box, but I have a server that I do some web hosting on, and she needed a developmental site. So I created her a dev site, and she wanted to install a new theme. It was a WordPress, and so she was installing a new theme. And usually when you give somebody a dev site, what they're going to do is they're creating their new their new webpage on it.
Mm-hmm.
And so when she said, okay, I'm all done with it, I said, not a problem. So then I wiped out the old original one, and I put the dev one in its place, and I said, here you go. And she said, it's wrong. I said, that's the data that's on there. And she says, no, I'm missing a whole lot of data. I said, there wasn't a lot of data there. She says, well, what I wanted you to do was take the data from the original one with the theme that I was working on the dev one and put those together. I thought, well, what about, why didn't you just put the theme on the original one? And she wanted to work on it in the back end, so it was off-site. And so I was like, all right. So I had to go to my backups, and I pulled it down. Luckily, I do backups on Monday, Wednesday, Friday. So last night, pulled the backup, got it all back up and running. But it was just this, you know, she had told me, we both heard the same thing, but we both read it completely different.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. So definitely having that communication with your clients, you know, upfront communication, clear and concise. So moving forward, you know what they have, they know what you're going to give them. You know what they want. It kind of struck a reminder in myself that, you know, I sometimes have a tendency to just go, oh, I know what you want. I know what they need. And you just do it. Rather than saying, is this, I mean, it may sound redundant, but, you know, clear and concise, is this what you want? Yes, I need you to do that, especially when it comes to data. And, you know, luckily I had a backup. But what if this was, you know, yes, you know, I need you to install this operating system. Oh, you want me to back up your data? Well, that wasn't, you know, now most techs, including myself, would have already backed up their data. That's not, you know, I'm not going to sabotage that, but it's just that clear and concise.
I think checklists, when it comes to our industry, a checklist is good for corrections of the past. Like, I make a checklist of things because of my past behavior with my clients. I missed these things during this virus removal. I missed these things when I was upselling. When I'm doing my projects, I have a list to make sure I go do all these things, because in the past, if I didn't and I missed something, I'd have to go redo it like you did. And that took my time off the clock, and I don't like that. You know, getting billed. I don't like, well, actually, I'd never bill a, you know, client for that, but I don't like having to do things twice.
Right. Well, and, that's, you know, and she was
nice.
Yeah, she was very nice about it, and but right off the bat, the first thing she said was, there is a problem here. And I said, I don't, you know, and then that's, at that moment, we said, oh, man, okay. Oh. So.
Back up. Yeah. That's why you're glad you got it.
Yeah, yeah, and that's why, you know, that's why it's there. But that was something that happened to me today that I want to bring up, to just kind of a reminder to myself, to us as techs, and to our listeners.
Back up your stuff.
Back it up, and, you know, communication.
Yeah, we never know when something's going to happen. I've had enough of those jobs where the miscommunication is the big one, and you're like, oh, okay, we're talking about two different things.
Mm-hmm.
You never tell.
Mm-hmm. What's the hardest thing about dealing with people remotely?
Oh, you know, I think it's just the level of patience that I have to learn to navigate with people.
Okay.
You know, like, I can tell when I get on the phone if someone's going to be tech savvy.
Yeah.
And they're not going to need a lot of detailed help. But there's the one client that you get that they're very slow. You know, I don't give up on any client until it's absolutely impossible, which can happen. But if they're an elderly person and they don't understand, I go through it slower. I never talk louder. I talk them through the buttons, and I make sure they see it because I know it blindly. I say, this is going to now wait for a while. You know, I mean, I tell, it's like a doctor. I go, it's going to hurt a little when I do that, you know. And I tell them, they have to understand that what they're seeing is normal. And then when I get in there, then they want to run the mouse. That's, yes. I always got to go, yeah,
every time.
Take your hand off the mouse now. Okay, Margaret, you can just let it go. And then it keeps moving. And I'm like, no, I mean, take it off all the way.
Could you turn your mouse over?
Yeah, just move it away. Yeah, otherwise I think that the elderly people are the ones that really like it the most because they find it convenient. But sometimes the hardest part is to be honest, I talk fast. And a lot of my clients don't like that. But the ones that do like it, get it.
Yeah,
they're fast. they're busy. They just want it done. So I've had to learn to slow down and explain things, and it's just communications with people. Like we were just saying, that's probably the hardest part for me. But it's easy now because I know how to do it.
Sure, sure. You know, in my experience, I found the most difficult thing as far as people. You get those who just follow simple directions and those who can't. And I can burn through jobs, stuff I've done over and over, but somebody who I can say, okay, click this, click that. But when you get in this thing where it's like, well, do I left click every time, and they want to read every message box to you, I start.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. It's like they read the entire. It's like, okay, Windows has recovered for. Oh, it's like, oh please. And you're telling them to stop, just stop, because you could actually read it to them from your picture in your mind. You can read it to them, but. People that just can't follow simple directions, give you tricks for getting around that. I think I have a problem telling somebody to stop doing it without, like, nicely. I sometimes feel like either I'm just being too gruff or I'm being too nice, and I never get like what I need. You have any idea, like any tips, something that would help without the.
Well, I think what you were just saying is the next comment I'm going to make is when people are trying to, they're not listening to you, and they're talking about the error, and you're like, oh, okay, I got it, Janet. Like, I understand, so you can just stop. Then they got a little bit of anxiety because they're the computer people that are worried about every little, notification, right?
Right.
Lisa, I swear this is right here, so just hold on, I'm going to read you the whole error. And then before I say, it's okay, they're in a rant for 2 minutes, right?
Right.
I try to stop break them, but if I can't, I just literally go back to writing emails. I mean, I'm just like, I know what they're doing because I know the client. And then I go, okay, Janet, it's okay. Just calm down. And I go, it's all right. I'll take care of it. And I'm like, again, the doctor, and I have to tell them. And one lady who was always worried and overstressed, she would not stop from one problem to another. She'd go, you know what, and then this is broken, my printer, and then, my internet gives me a red X on this thing, and Lisa, I just don't know what to do, and she'd just keep going without a break for me to go, just let me remote in, and I'm calm, and I'm not panicked because that's our job to stay calm, right? We've seen it all. Sure. What's the worst thing we're going to see? Nothing. We're like, we see it all, so... It's communication, 100%, I think. It's just learning how to judge your client, and if you're new to remote support, you cannot talk loudly, you cannot yell at people, and if you're upset, you need to just put your phone on pause and just break. I've had to do that. You've had to, or my favorite is, you know what, I need to call you back in 5 minutes. Is that okay with you? And people are like, yeah, that's fine. Because they're frustrated, too.
Yeah, yeah.
So sure. I just take a fiver and just do something else. I've almost cried on calls. I mean, I've been so upset, like something went really, really bad. And, I mean, I've had to take them off the clock and just sit there and breathe it out and go, what the F happened here? Like something bad happened. Yeah. And, what's funny, Tim, is seeing you there with the headset and your hat and your mic and everything. There's a lot of other techs out there that are running remote support benches that are dealing with the same thing I am every day. Just manning a phone line of your calls and to be able to sit and do that.
Yeah.
It's not an everyday tech kind of job to get to know people, and that's all you do. So we don't have stores and we're not hardware. Well, you might have been one or whoever is into remote support, but the point is that hardware is slowly edging out of our industry more and more.
I do remote work, but I am a hardware guy. I love hardware, and you can take that Outlook and you can have all of it. I hate that Outlook. It's just, I think fixing Outlook problems should just die in a fire. If you want it all, you can have it. It was funny when you described yourself, because I'm like, well, I'm not even the real Tim. You're like the anti Tim. I do small device repair, and so I fix iPhones and these types of things, and so I love hardware. So
I weep for you, Tim. In 5 years you're gonna be like, I should have listened to that girl.
Yeah,
Actually, I did. I heard you say you cut out everything you hate doing. So that's. I'll go back to.
You can send me all your Outlook work. So you just have to be outsourced, Tim, from now on. I'm gonna be Tim the outsourcer guy. You know, I don't want any of it. I give it away. Tim, I get commission. The outsource guy.
Tim the outsourcer.
Give him a new tagline, Tim the outsourcer.
Well, it doesn't matter. I mean, you know, how long have I been here and nobody still knows who I am? I feel bad. I'm hoping that the real Tim isn't getting, like, hate me all this time. He has no idea where it's working from.
Tim from... Oh, I miss that Tim. I wish I could do his accent a little better. I would, because I just think he's a hoot. He was a lot of fun. I'll see him on TeamSpeak one of these nights.
Oh, very nice. Well, Lisa, thank you so much for coming out and hanging out with us tonight. It's been it's been a pleasure. You've brought just a lot of knowledge and just a great time to the show. I know I've you know, definitely am pleased to have you here, and yeah, it's been fun. Really fun.
Yeah, you guys are great to work with. It wasn't a technical hassle, and there was no. You guys know how to work together well, so kudos.
We practice on our downtime. We practice. We have Geekster drills.
Yeah, we don't fight during the show.
That's right.
Right.
And after the show, we hug it out.
That's right. Brothers don't shake hands. Brothers got a hug.
Hug it out.
So, Lisa, if people want to get a hold of you, use your services, want you to remotely control their mouse and work, how can they get a hold of you?
You can reach me at lisa@callthatgirl.biz. You can email me at lisa@podnuts.com. You can go to my website, callthatgirl.biz. And I'm on like 25 social media channels, so it's not hard to find me. I'm pretty open.
But everything's usually Call That Girl?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I got that branded pretty well. It's hard to get anywhere without that now. So.
Very nice.
Yeah, I enjoyed my time here.
Yeah, thank you. Mitch, if you want to get a hold of you, how can they do that?
Here on the Google Hangouts or geeks@podnuts.com. Did I get it right this time?
Yes.
Giving out the wrong email, Mitch?
I do that quite a bit.
It's geeksters@podnuts.com.
Oh, geeksters.
Geeksters@podnuts.com. That's right.
I thought it was, okay. Then I got it wrong then. Because I'm not going to mention one of you guys, because I did say geeksters last week, and one of you guys said geeks.
Oh, really?
So I thought you were right.
That's probably me.
But it's on the site. If you go to podnuts.com, you can see all the links to get a hold of us.
That's right. Whatever we say here, look for it in writing.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, what's said here stays here, right?
Well, and on the internet.
And on the internet, then.
Yep. So, yeah. Tim, if you want to get a hold of you, where can they get a hold of you?
I'm in, like Tim, in the Podnuts forums. You can email me, tim@realpcrepair.com, or Tim Bauermeister from the G+.
Nice. And we already mentioned it. If you want to send us an email, we haven't had an email in a long time. So if you have any questions, comments, maybe suggestions for hosts, maybe what we should do for our 100th anniversary coming up here, email us, geeksters@podnuts.com. If you want to call us and leave us a voice mail, you can call us at 707-6-PODNUT. Check out, I think we still have a Facebook page, facebook.com/geeksters.tv, maybe? But I think...
You guys can give away one of my e-books. That's on your 100th show if you want.
Oh, there we go.
Oh, great.
I have a social media guide, the manual of operations, and the fabulous third edition of the remote support book.
Oh, that's fabulous. Awesome, Lisa. Thank you.
Yeah, well, so we'll have to come up with some prize. And this is a great way to get a new host.
Exactly. Yeah, I was going to say the same thing.
Who wants to host it? Just volunteer for the prize.
Exactly.
You're not going to get the prize, but you'll be stuck with
it. You know what? It'll be me, and then I'll defunct the whole
thing. You can't win. I won myself.
You can't win your own prize.
It's like, oh, dang it, I joined. I've lost my own.
We'll disqualify someone.
That's right. Holiday season is here. It's now Christmas is, what is it, a week from tomorrow? It's not too late.
Yep. Yes. Good gravy, yes.
Podnuts.com/Amazon. If you have your, you know, if you're a Prime member, I think there's still time. You can get stuff next day. So, guys, it was a great pleasure. And Lisa, hanging out with us today. It looks like we haven't sure. One of the questions really quick before we hang up is our holiday schedule. I don't know yet. There's some talk about maybe recording a little earlier just so because our normal recording days are going to fall on the 24th and then on the 31st. So we'll figure that out, but we will be recording and we'll get things out to everybody. So everybody have a great fiscal week and we'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.